Hi, I'm Michelle Graham, the Technically DC Market Editor. Technically is a news site that grows local technology communities by connecting organizations and people through news, events, and services. This is Technically DC Diaries, a pilot interview series where I will talk to local technologists and startup leaders about themselves and why they do the hard and good work that they do. For this edition, I have with me David Wilson, a principal at Franklin Advisory. Thanks for joining. Welcome, David.
Thank you so much for having me. Huge honor.
Yes. I just want to be transparent and say this is the first time I made it through my intro on the first try. So I'm excited. We're already on a good start.
So yeah, hopefully I don't drop the ball. Hopefully I don't kill the momentum.
Come on, don't embarrass me, David. All right. So let's jump into it. How did you first get into tech/entrepreneurship?
Yeah. I was doing Teach for America in Brooklyn, and that was just right outside of college. I worked for this really awesome, school network called Uncommon Schools in Brooklyn. And I've always been very concerned about empowerment, right? So for communities, especially communities that are kind of on the come up or they have a lot of different, every community has a lot of assets, right? And for various reasons, those assets sometimes aren't able to come together in a way that will lift the entire community up. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. My mom is a dean of a college of education. So I graduated from undergrad with a degree in economics, went to Teach for America thinking that the idea was going to be, all right, I'm going to do Teach for America. And then I'm going to try to go get a PhD actually in education. And I'm going to try to get involved in the education world. I really wanted to become a mid-level superintendent, a mid-level person at a major city's Department of Education pretty quickly, pretty young, and then try to become the youngest state superintendent for Alabama. And so move back home to Alabama and be the youngest state superintendent for the state of Alabama at some point. While I was doing Teach for America, it's so hard. It's so hard. And I knew that I wasn't going to try to go get a PhD and try to lead education if I didn't spend 5 to 7 years in the classroom. Yeah. And teaching's just so hard. So I just said, I'm not gonna do this for 5 to 7 years. I just was like, I'm not gonna do it. And, so that kind of started to shift what I was thinking of doing. And really for one of the first times during Teach for America, I was just reading a lot. And I've always been interested in policy and politics and education. And so I was reading a lot of books about politicians like I always had. But I also started to read books about business leaders, right? So I started reading, I read The Snowball, that's about Warren Buffett. It's this really long book about his life. And I was just, really drawn to him, growing up in Nebraska and not having this super traditional background, but seeing all the success that he had. And I was very drawn to how he kept Berkshire Hathaway in Nebraska and didn't move it to, like a New York, yeah, like a big financial center. And I started thinking, man, just having Berkshire Hathaway in Omaha, Nebraska, like how big of an asset that is for that state and for that region. And then I just started, reading a lot just about a lot of different business leaders. And I started to really get drawn to, okay, how can we, the impact that when an entrepreneur or a group of entrepreneurs from a community can come together and build something, especially if they keep it in the community where they were, like physically headquartered, how much of a benefit that can be for that community or for that group. And I tend to think in geographics. So I'm very passionate about Latin America and startup communities in Latin America, particularly Colombia. They're doing just some awesome things from a government, public-private partnership to boost startups like Rappi, which has had huge success. And I also have a lot of thoughts about the Southeast, the Midwest, basically any area that's not in the Boston, San Francisco, or New York metropolitan areas. And so at some point my vision started to shift. Okay, my way of helping with empowerment isn't necessarily going to be directly working in education, although I do still want to be involved. It's actually, there's just a lot to be said about when a community can come together, because it takes a village to build a startup, right? It takes angel investors, it takes capital, it takes hiring, it takes teams, it takes customers. It takes all these different things. And when people feel like they can build something, and it's a part of that community, like I've seen with Rappi in Colombia and in Bogota, those founders of Rappi, if you're a promising founder in Colombia, Rappi's got Andreessen Horowitz investments. You know, they were Y Combinator. They're doing all these amazing things. Everybody was telling Rappi, hey, you have to move from, if, you know, okay, you can stay in Latin America, but you need to leave Bogota and you need to go to Mexico City, or you need to go to Sao Paulo. And they said, no, we're staying in Bogota. And any Colombian founder that has a good startup, I mean, a lot of them, they're texting with the founders of Rappi. So you've got these people that, I mean, they're probably worth, you know, over $1 billion now. And you've got a company that's doing their first $5 million in ARR. But if you're Colombian, they're going to help you, and they're going to help you come up. So I think a lot in terms of geographics, but this could also obviously be applied to groups that are based on identity. It could be based on, you know, identity as far as, you know, gender, or all, it can be based on a lot of things, but just the power that entrepreneurship can have on a community, feeling like they came together and they built something that's huge.
Awesome. So let's talk about your current role. Can you first tell me what Franklin Advisory does, and then also what does a day in the life of a principal at the company really look like?
Yeah, so Franklin Advisory, what we believe is that entrepreneurship is one of the most effective ways to empower people and communities. So that ties back to that theme that we were talking about earlier. So what we do right now is we help institutions build programming around that, right? So if you're a university and you want to get people more involved in the venture capital space, or you're a government and you want to build accelerator programs, or look at what are policies that we can be doing to build our startups and build our entrepreneurship space, we're there. If you're a corporation and you say, hey, you know, we're a 100-year-old corporation and how do we get involved in the startup space? Like, what do we do with this? We're there to help you with that. So if you're an institution, primarily right now, it's if you're a medium or a larger size institution, and you want to figure out how do we build our community and our stakeholders, however you define that, in the startup and entrepreneurship space, we come in and we help you do that.
Gotcha. Awesome. So
second question.
Yeah. Principal. Yeah.
Okay. So I actually started the company. I started the company when I was in business school at Georgetown. So I was getting my MBA at Georgetown, and I had a great experience at this venture capital firm. I had an awesome boss. His name is Ben Ebenezer, and he's still a huge mentor to me, and just amazing, just amazing, amazing person. Took me under his wing. And, you know, I said, look, I'm going to come in every day. I was studying in business school. I said, I'm going to come in every day, and I'm going to just make your life easier. And I said, if I could, because he had a lot of responsibility. Now he has a big staff, but when I got there, it was almost just, you know, me, him, and then a couple other people that were part-time. Now he has an actual full-time staff. But I said, man, this is a lot for you. And he's brilliant, right? So I think that when you're a student and you're young and you see somebody above you who's just really good, my mindset was, look, if I just help him and I make his life easier, I'm going to learn a ton. Because I actually, like, I respect him, not just as a venture capitalist, but also as a person. So helped him for a year, and it was awesome. Just great experience. But I really dove into just getting involved, right? I loved the deal sourcing, I wanted to go find good deals. And I wanted to also be really involved in the community, right? And I know we'll get to a question probably like this in a little bit, but the DC community was super welcoming. I mean, super welcoming. You know, you had these people like Kelly O'Malley, you know, that were super welcoming to me, Anna Mason over at Revolution, just great guys and women and people that were very welcoming. So did the year long fellowship at the venture capital firm, and that ended. And so then, you know, I was very fortunate where some of the portfolio companies that I had worked with said, hey, you know, you've got a semester left of school. We know that you're not at the VC anymore, but can you help us, you know, with just some stuff? You know, can you help us with things that you were already working on for us? And I said, yeah, I said, sure, let's do it. You know, I reached back out to the VC firm, and they said, yeah, like, you know, if you're supporting our companies, that's win-win for everybody. Then, you know, kind of started doing that. Things went well. They started telling their friends. So now I'm like, you know, looking at my last semester of business school thinking, man, okay, this is great. I want to take out as many loans, you know? Yeah. So that was kind of my thought process. And then I think probably about a month into doing that, I was like, wait a second, I could probably make, you know, more money and have more fun doing this rather than, you know, trying to. So I kind of just stopped the recruiting for full-time opportunities and just said, okay, I'm going to make Franklin Advisory.
Yeah.
But when I started Franklin Advisory, I called myself an associate at Franklin Advisory, even though I was the only person that was there. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that was because I thought, and I called it Franklin Advisory, and it means nothing. It just sounds established and it sounds really good. But
I was going to ask if there was any.
I think it means literally nothing. I think I was sitting there trying to think up of a name that sounded
so funny. I'm like, my mind is blown. Yeah. I think you're one of the first people I have probably talked to in this community where there's not like this very sentimental story behind the name.
Not a sentimental story at all. I think I happened to be watching the news and they were running a story. I think it was a little bit after Aretha Franklin had passed away. And they said, I was literally trying to think of a name on TV. They said the name Aretha Franklin. And on my bookshelf, I have some books and the Ben Franklin book, I think it's written by Walter Isaacson, happens to be really big on the bookshelf. And I was like, Franklin, that's a good one. I was kind of looking around and I looked over to
a lot of few times.
And there was Franklin again. And I was like, Franklin Advisory. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. And I called myself an associate because of two things. First off, when you're, I felt like when you're my age and you're a student in business school, it needs to look like it's a bigger thing, right? They don't just want some kid coming in and saying something else. And the other thing was, I knew that if I called it Wilson Advisory, people would either think I'm working for a family business. So like, this guy's not really the guy, and I didn't want people to think that. So you just had a lot of considerations with those things. So I called myself an associate just so, people would take my meetings, basically, because they're thinking, okay, it's Franklin Advisory. Yeah, I've never heard of this, but he's an associate there. So I just want people to take meetings. And a lot of times in the first meeting, it would come up and I'd tell people the truth. They'd be like, okay, so, you're an associate at Franklin Advisory. I never lied. I would just say, yeah, I'm an associate and I'm the only person. I actually started
the company. You might be a marketing guru.
And people loved that. They loved that story. And I think it actually helped me out a lot because they were like, I had a bunch of people that were like, oh yeah, I wouldn't have taken your meeting. Like if you had founder on your thing and I saw you were in school still and all that, they were like, we wouldn't have taken the meeting. So I was like, okay, well, that worked out. Yeah. So, I self-promoted myself around the time I think I started hiring a team and then I self-promoted to principal.
Oh my God. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Self-promoted.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I actually went to dinner to celebrate with some friends.
I mean, you deserve it. Why not? Okay, let's move on to the next question, man. That is great. I can't wait for people to hear this story. I'm excited. All right, so what's great about the DC Tech community and what can it do better? You kind of touched on it already, I kind of say the same thing. Like, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have like those initial big name connections when I first came into the community, like Tara Silver, Shana Glenzer, Amelia Friedman. And they were like really big names that I connected with, and it was kind of like spider web, and my network kind of started to grow from there. So what to you does the DC community do well, and what can it improve on?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's a sense of collaboration, right? There's this sense of we're all in this together. There is, we're trying to be on the come up, when things like, Amazon HQ2 get announced that they're going to be in DC. We kind of all see, oh great, this is such a great opportunity, right?
Yeah.
And I haven't really seen, and even when I was in venture capital, there wasn't a competition for deal flow, right? It was willingly shared deal flow. We're going to invest. Y'all should invest. Founders that were, great founders like Amelia that you were talking about were like, yeah, come to our, everybody was always inviting you to the events. It was just good. I met Anna Mason in Uber. I met Anna Mason in Uber. It's just great. It was just great. I met David Hall, who's another great guy and is her partner at Revolution. I met him at the car dealership because we have the same kind of car. I met him and his wife at the car dealership. And then he was like, yeah, just hit me up anytime. It was great.
Oh my God. I love that. So
I would say the community and the collaboration and the mutual support of everyone is probably what I think right now is one of the greatest assets. Now I think we're about to build on a lot of those assets in a good way. I think that things like Amazon HQ2 coming, a lot of people are just excited about Amazon HQ2 and it's going to provide jobs. What I'm excited about is people are going to leave Amazon HQ2 and they're going to start companies. Or they're going to join C-suites of companies when companies are like two or three people, right? And I think that to me as a startup person why I'm excited about, and of course, you know, HQ2 coming opens up a lot of opportunities for initial customers. You know, it opens up a lot of e-commerce opportunities for the Washington, D.C. area startups that might not have been there before. But I still think one of the coolest things is going to be, you know, people who get to Amazon HQ2, they work for 3 or 4 or 5 years and they say, I'm going to go start my own company. Or, hey, I've heard about this cool company. Let me come be a technical co-founder. And especially on that side of things where you're going to get all these different people who are involved in the tech scene and have these engineering or software backgrounds, I think that'll be really great.
Awesome. Yeah, that's an interesting take. Like when I was doing a lot of my pre-Amazon HQ2 reporting, you know, some founders and just leaders in the region were afraid that startups might, you know, die out or get sucked up into Amazon HQ2 and what they have going on. So it's interesting that you kind of have an opposite outlook and you're like, no, I think a lot of stuff is going to spin out, which I agree with. I feel like a lot of different companies, people don't know that a lot of just different Google execs, people that used to work at Google, are starting a lot of startups and just different companies in the region, and they spun out of ideas that they initially had while they were working at those big name companies. So I love that.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that about. So the concerns that people have as far as how it would affect the startup community. I don't have that concern at all. I think it's going to be a huge positive for, you know, especially, you know, you look at a lot of companies, not only that, you know, the Amazon and all the little companies that will start moving to DC because of Amazon, that opens up a lot of large early customers for a lot of startups, yeah. Right? Yeah, so I see it as a huge positive for the startup community, for sure.
All right, so next question. How are you staying connected with the community during the pandemic? What have you been doing?
Yeah, so it's hard. You know, and I know you and I have talked a little bit about this, but, you know, one of the most, talking about the collaboration of the community, you know, after I graduated business school and I was in DC, a lot of my fun social life stuff was revolving around, you know, hey, Cushman & Wakefield is going to host a startup event, happy hour, you know, or technically is going to host an event.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you had all these different organizations, they were hosting these events, and it was really, it's just a good way to go see your friends, you know, in a lot of ways. And that being gone, not just from a pure networking perspective, but it's a bummer. You know, it's just a bummer sometimes because a lot of the fun is going to see people. The other thing that's difficult is that, you know, people would call me and say, hey, how do I get plugged in? Right. And I would say, hey, come with me to this event, you know, come with me to this technically event, right? Technically events are a really great way for you just to see a whole lot of people that are very relevant and very passionate about the startup community or the venture capital community. And you're going to get to meet all of them very quickly over a, you know, 2, 3, 4 hour period. Great opportunity, right? And not just people that you want to meet or that you're going to events to meet, but then you have these serendipitous run-ins with people, right? Where you're just talking in a group and you say, what do you do? And you look at the name tag, great. So I think that a lot of people are rightfully feeling, you know, a pain around two things. It's just a bummer not to see all your people and to reconnect very quickly. And the second bummer is it's harder to have these serendipitous run-ins with people on the internet, right? You know, you go to a virtual event and it's tough. You know, I'm very excited about, you know, hopefully soon it's safe to go back to events. Cause I think there's just a lot to be said about that. The energy that comes with physically being with people that are like-minded. As far as how to make up with that, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, we at Franklin Advisory, especially, you know, we've been focusing a lot more on, you know, we've been focusing and planning a lot more around digital strategy for business development and looking at that, which is probably something that we should have been doing, but we were doing so well with in-person business development that, you know, it just, the digital stuff took a back seat. So we are focusing on ramping that up, which that'll be good even after the pandemic subsides and it's safe to go back out, but really focusing a lot on the digital strategy. Also just being intentional, you know, just having to be intentional about, okay, who are the people that I would normally see and now I don't really see them. So calling and things like that, and just making sure that you're staying fresh and on people's radar. But there's definitely a push more to a digital strategy that I think will be good. But look, and this is a personal opinion, there's a lot of people that would disagree with me on this, but yeah, my personal opinion is I just don't feel like there's any better way to do business development than figuring out a way to do stuff in person. You know, I think that you lose out on a lot of stuff. You know, I'm bummed not to get emails, you know, that says, hey, technically he's doing this event, you know, in this facility. So,
I mean, I don't think people would outright disagree with you. There's just some things that are better facilitated in person. Mm-hmm. I often miss being in the co-working space simply because it was just an easy way to come across different founders and hear about different companies. And at 1776, you could be sitting there and they'll be like, hey, we're having this, you know, live chat with a founder at lunchtime, or hey, you know, a founder that I wanted to talk to would be in the kitchen right there. Like when Churn Zero was planning to grow and move out of 1776, I found out about that tip because I had a seat in 1776. I'm like, that's not a story you come across by interacting in a virtual event. So I can definitely agree. But let's move on a little bit. I want to kind of switch gears and talk about what you do when you're not on the clock. So what does recharging on the weekends look like for you?
So fortunately, you know, one thing that a habit that I've picked up actually in quarantine is working out. I'm starting to get more into lifting weights. Yeah, getting more into lifting weights. I played soccer in high school. I was a captain of the soccer team, but I still hated running. And people were like, oh, well, you'll get used to running. You know, we were running 5 miles a day. And for 4 years, I did every day. I mean, I remember eating lunch. We would have a later lunch, and 4 o'clock was going to be soccer. And I just remember sitting at lunch being like, oh my gosh, this is going to be awful. Like,
that's so funny.
So the cardio stuff I'm not as into, but I have started getting into to weights, which has been interesting. And I feel good, and it's putting me in a very, you know, it puts me in a good mood, especially. I'm the kind of person that likes to be with a lot of people, and kind of talking about the events, a lot of it's just a personal preference. And so having the weights and stuff is good. I've been getting to visit my family a lot too in quarantine. You know, I think, and you're probably feeling a little bit of this, you know, Washington, D.C., we went on such a hard lockdown to keep people safe. And, you know, clients don't want to meet and people don't want to meet for stuff. And so I was just in my place in D.C. just alone a lot. And I said, well, you know, I can keep doing my business even if I fly home to Alabama to visit my family. So I've been getting to see my family a lot, which has been great. And getting to spend a lot of time with them. I love to read. I actually sing and play guitar. I've had a band a couple of times.
What? Yeah, because, you're in a band? You are blowing my mind today. I did not know anything about you.
Yeah. So we had
running. You're in a band. Franklin Advisory means nothing. What else are you going to surprise me with today?
Yeah. So we, in business school, we had a band called Cost of Capital, and we played a couple of times, and it was awesome. We actually had some really talented musicians in that, but I'll still pick up my guitar and sing on my own. And just like hanging out with friends, you know, I've got a really, really good, that's been another good thing. I've been flying home a lot more, or traveling back home a lot more to see my family and my friends. And, you know, seeing, I have a really close-knit group of friends from growing up. And, you know, when you're in DC and there's a lot of hustle, you know, a lot of hustling going on, you don't have as much time to, you know, physically travel back home and see them. So it's just been great to reconnect with them. But I think just spending time with people that I care about is the best way for me to recharge. You know, it's just having fun on a Saturday and a Sunday. And then about Sunday afternoon comes back and I'm like, all right, enough fun. You know, I'm ready to get back, because then the work becomes fun again. But I think it's really important. I always take one day on the weekend to do, I don't touch work one day on the weekend. And I think you just have to do it, because I think that if you don't, what I was finding about myself was that then I was being less productive during the week.
Yeah.
Ooh. So.
Awesome. All right. So the big question, if you could describe yourself in 3 words, what would they be? You can only pick 3.
Okay.
And they cannot be Franklin Advisory.
Okay. So passionate is definitely one. Awesome. You know, I have to tone myself down. And I've actually had this problem. I remember in elementary school, teachers getting mad at me, but when a teacher would say something that I had a lot of opinions on, I just had to tell them, you know, I would be so excited, right? It was like this little thing would, and it was never an argumentative thing. It was just more like, I'm so excited to like tell, but so passionate in a way where it almost literally bubbles out of me. And so sometimes I have to keep it more internal, but definitely passionate about different aspects of things. And when I get passionate about stuff, I mean, I could just sit there and talk about those particular topics for forever. So passionate would be one. Exploratory Would that be exploratory, maybe?
Exploratory, another way? Yeah.
Basically, you know, I just like to figure out, and I'm starting, gosh, in the pandemic, you know, you can't really do this, but I've gotten really into learning a lot more about different cultures based on geography, right? So when this pandemic's over and people can start traveling again, I've now accumulated all these airline points and hotel points. Shout out to Marriott Hotel Brands for all the points. But I want to learn about all this stuff, right? And especially as it relates to startups. You know, we did this really cool Israel trek that we were looking at like startups and cybersecurity startups and things in Israel when I was in business school. And I was like, you know, I want to do more of those kinds of things, but I'll just organize them myself. You know, I'll pick a country or pick an area and I'll reach out. You know, we do a lot of work with South Korea and I love it. And it's so fun. So yeah, we have a really great client in South Korea, and it's just fun to learn about the culture and how they do stuff with business and how the startups that are growing and the excitement from that. So probably exploratory. And then the third one, you know, I think, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm more this than other people, but I hold this in a very high regard. But empathy, I think, is very important in the ability to put yourself in another person's shoes and kind of think what they're thinking. And, you know, from a personal perspective, I think it's a really good quality to have because it helps you see the good. And I mean, for like the vast majority, vast, like 99.99999%, like people kind of have like very similar underlying values, right? Like they want to feel safe. They want to feel happy. They want to feel like they have opportunities to grow. And, you know, they want people to love them. You know, they want to feel loved. And so regardless of where people end up coming from on certain things, there kind of always is this underlying thing. And so to be empathetic, you can put things in people's shoes. I think it's also been good. It's happened to become good in business because it also allows me to put myself in potential customers or into client shoes about things and start to think, okay, like where are they coming from on this? And it becomes a lot less about me. And it becomes more about the other person. So I'd probably say empathetic, exploratory, and passionate would probably be the three things.
Awesome. I would have to agree with those. All right.
Did I do it? I did good.
Yes.
That was the hard one. That was the
hard one. I told you it was going to be a hard one. Yeah. You know, people can describe it in so many different ways. So, but I think the true words you pick are the ones that first come to your mind. So yeah. All right. Any last words? This can be your time to share upcoming events or announcements from your company or just any personal things you want to talk about.
Yeah. You know, I want to take the time, shout out to the team, Franklin Advisory team. We've got a lot of really great people. And, you know, when you're building a company that's especially, you know, a consultancy company, you know, it's all about the team, because you can only, the original person, especially in a consultancy, they can only do so much, right? You know, you can only advise people so many things. So to make something like this work and the growth that we have is totally team-based. And then doing that in the culture with each other, making sure that we're protecting each other and looking out for each other, and then being effective for clients and adding a lot of value to clients. So shout out to the team. And also just, you know, thanks to y'all. You know, Technically does such a great job of, I think one of Technically's biggest strengths is y'all are really good about bringing interesting perspectives mm-hmm. to stories. And that's one thing that I really appreciate about Technically is kind of when I read a story from Technically, there's always these nuances that make me consider things that I hadn't thought of before. So it's not just, hey, like, here's this thing that's going on, but y'all are very good about being creative and innovative, even with this video series that you're doing.
Yeah.
To figure out how's like an interesting spin that we can bring in on things, you know, especially even with the video series, just asking like personal questions, like what do you do to recharge on the weekend? So shout out to Technically, shout out to my team for everything. And thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. Thank you. Thank you everyone who has been watching. This has been Technically DC Diaries. I'm Michelle Graham, and we'll be back with another episode soon.